Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Brethren, we've got some real salt that we're dealing with here, but salt preserves, and salt purifies, and salt purges. But this is very strong meat. Do hope that you can have ears to hear. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Test it. Test it with the Word. Let me know if you find deviation from the Word. I don't want to wrest the Word of God. I want to make sure it's rightly divided. If you find error, let me know. But we're still talking about repentance. And in regard to all sins, we're talking about all sins committed, whether by flesh or spirit, whether by deed or the will, God has destined the penalty by means of judgment. And that's for all sins, whether they're flesh sins or spirit sins. The penalty has been destined by God. And there's only one way around it. By His grace and mercy through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess how we find this grace? So that the just, holy God will grant the pardon. According to the Word of God, it's by means of repentance. So many times in the Scriptures, God and His prophets say to the people, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. The Lord says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn you yourselves and live ye. That's Ezekiel 18:30-32. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? This is the cry of God Almighty to the born-again people. Yes, Israel means born again. This is a heart cry of God Almighty at this final last hour when He commands, brethren, commands all men, born-again men and unborn-again, when He commands all men everywhere. Now is the hour He commands all men everywhere to repent. Listen to it again. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Yes, that's to you born again people. Yes, it's to the born again people. Turn ye, repent. Repent, you born again people. Repentance then is life, since it is preferred to death. By repentance, even a big sinner like me can hold on to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that there is a blessed hope, like one who grabs hold of a floating timber from a shipwreck. Cleaving to the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance is the way. Brethren, it is not the way to think that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ gives me a license to sin or removes my need of continual seeking the grace of God to continue to hold in the faith of Jesus Christ by repentance. It's a continual seeking of the grace of God by repentance. Repentance is an attitude that it is me and not the other guy who is in need of the grace of God, available only through repentance. And this is how we survive when we are sunk in sin. It is cleaving to the cross by repentance that brings us through and keeps us pressing on to perfection in this process of sanctification. By the continual attitude of repentance, we find and stay on the way of forgiveness and the kingdom of heaven. It is by repentance that we hold on to the opportunity of God's grace and find the power to say no to sin and maintain fellowship with God. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we were enemies of God. Before finding the grace of God to come to Him by repentance and faith in the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua, there really was not much hope for us. Matter of fact, there was no hope. Then, as enemies of God, we did not have much concern about sin, did we? As enemies of God back then, we didn't have much concern about sin or holiness, either one. But now it's different, isn't it? Better be different. Now we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We do now delight in the law of the Lord, and by repentance, cleaving tightly to Yeshua, Jesus the vine, we grow and will bring forth fruit in time, in due season. And that time is now. We are in now time, brethren. It is now the time that God commands, brethren, all men. Are you a man? All men. God commands all men. He winked in these times of ignorance past, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. You better hear it. Whether you like it or not, you better hear it. I didn't write this. Without this cleaving to the vine, by this attitude of personal repentance, we will not remain fastened to the vine. Having found the truth, we repent of errors, repent of having loved what God hates. We now want to serve Him and obey Him, who has showed us such great love and mercy. Brethren, Jesus preached repentance. That's all. That's what He preached, brethren. Jesus preached repentance. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You better confess you're a sinner. You're a sinner, or you make God a liar. You might be a redeemed sinner. That's what we are. But you're still a sinner, or else you're making God a liar, and there's no future in that, brethren. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Today, a big part of the great falling away from the faith is that somehow people begin to think that repentance is for the other guy, and fail to keep personal repentance as the way that we are instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ to cleave to Him. Many saints today seem to forget that a saint is a redeemed sinner who continues, stays grafted into the vine by repentance, continues in the way of repentance. Is it good to repent or not? Why should anybody give a split second's consideration? Yes, repent. The quicker and the more complete the repentance, the better. Salvation does depend upon our response to the grace of God. And the right response to the grace of God in Jesus Christ is repentance. When we think that repentance is for that other guy and not for me, the truth is that other guy may enter into the kingdom of heaven, and I may be too dumbed down to even know that the way we hold in the grace of God is by personal repentance. God invites us to repent as the only way to the reward of salvation. He even by an oath says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn," repent, "from his way and live." Turn ye, repent from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? This is the born again people. You want to die born again people? Turn ye, turn ye. It's the command. And that command is repent, and he is giving that command to the house of Israel, to the born again people. The word of God over and over commands us to repent. Through God's grace, repentance is the way we find the grace with the Lord. And we need his grace. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for his grace in Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. When we learn and begin walking in repentance, we become quicker to repent and less likely to repeat the sin. We no longer plead ignorance when we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We just know about him. No, that's not good enough. Not just know about him, but to know him. Yes, we want to know him, not just know about him. We hunger and thirst for righteousness if we know him. We delight to know his commandments. We delight to do his commandments because we know him. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God protected. And hereby know we that we are in him. No longer do we want to remain in ignorance of his will. Now we have come to know the Lord. We accept his precepts. His commandments are not grievous, not something we have to do. Now they are something we get to do, something we want to do. After we have repented of past sins, we have purposed to stop sinning. And that still remains an impossibility for born sinners without God's grace. Yet Jesus said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. John 5:14-11. Sinning no more is the goal. We are redeemed sinners. The goal of not sinning is hopeless even for redeemed sinners without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. We do need the grace and mercy of God according to the Word of God. We find His grace by means of repentance and the work of the Holy Ghost. This is the process of sanctification. And the will of God is very clear and explicit. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. This process of sanctification is the process where we grow in this grace and sin less and sin less. And the goal of becoming sinless is part of the blessed hope we have in Christ. Yet we do know that we do not arrive until we get there. There is a way, and the way of repentance. That is the way. The way is the way of repentance, agreeing with the convicting work of the Holy Ghost and being empowered to say no to sin. When we fall into sin, it's not that God did not provide the grace. It's because that we have frustrated the grace. And yet by repentance, we may find grace to effectively be born again again. Yes. This is by repentance. No other way. Self-will and being right in our own eyes is the block to repentance. Here are some things that Jesus taught. Jesus said these things to believers, brethren. You better hear this. These things the Lord Jesus Christ said to believers who had fallen, encouraging them to find his grace by repentance and thereby effectively being born again again. You say, I don't believe that. Where's the proof? Where does it say that in the Word? Okay, listen to this. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this to the churches, to the church people, to the born again people. Oh, yes, he did. Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You're going to put your light out. There won't be any light left in you, and you won't know it. Oh, that's the sad part. When it happens, you'll be the last to know. Revelation 2:16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You want the Lord Jesus Christ to fight against you? I don't. I want to be on his side. Now he's saying this, brethren, this is all in the first three chapters of Revelation. He's saying this to the people, the church folk, the born again folk. Yes, he is. Remember therefore, Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 16 and 17, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Yeah, yeah, that's a message to born-again people. Oh, yes, it is. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Once saved, always saved. You got need of nothing? Huh, that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Because you say that, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, that's the problem. You don't know. And when you fall from his grace, you will not know. You will probably feel more spiritual than you ever felt before. You'll probably think repentance is for anybody and everybody in this world except you. That's a mark of having fallen from grace. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says that to the born-again people. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Are you being rebuked and chastened? Is it really rough? He loves you. Be zealous, therefore, and even so repent. Even if he loves you enough to be rebuking you and chastening you, he still says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, some say, God knows my heart, and then they go right on sinning. And I've heard that. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that. Brethren, that is one very strong delusion. Yes, God knows our heart, and we do not. That's the problem, brethren. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. We may fool ourselves, and we may fool the other church folk, but God is not mocked, brethren. God sees right through any hypocrisy and vanity. When we sin, we need to acknowledge the truth, as the Holy Spirit brings us conviction and we repent. The Holy Spirit may bring that conviction through a brother. And if we do not receive the truth, if we are unteachable, we will not find the way of repentance and restoration. The big block to repentance is self, pride, and vanity. We turn away from self and sin in the way of repentance. It is sad when we see some of the strong delusion of these last days. Some people are even so vain as to think that the way they walk in some religious observance of Torah will keep them in the way of repentance, when in fact it usually will feed their vanity and harden them in self-righteousness. It is sad to see people having confidence placed in false doctrines, false teachers, false prophets, rationalizations, and self-justifications. Deceived and deluded people can never seem to understand the lifestyle of repentance. Many have confidence in some sort of spiritual experience that somehow makes them exempt from all the admonitions of truth. They find it impossible to receive the truth of never having found repentance, having fallen from the way of repentance, becoming unteachable, and walking in the path of destruction and feeling good about it, being right in their own eyes. At the base of this strong delusion, one generally finds ignorance and or a disregard for the Word of God. Many have never regarded the Word of God enough to read the King James Version Holy Bible even one time. Many have never read the Holy Bible like any other book, straight through from the beginning in Genesis 1:1, in the order that God preserved it straight through to Revelation 22:21. Some do not even know the difference between the Holy Bible and the non-holy perversions. Some may have at one time read the Word of God on a disciplined basis every day, and yet somewhere along the way they left off that disciplined reading of the Scriptures every day. A disciple is a disciplined one. Now they do what's right in their own eyes and feel good about it, and will not receive the truth for correction to find repentance from you or the Holy Ghost. And this is a sad sign of the times in these last days. While the Scriptures command us to prove all things and test the spiritual experiences in particular. Yeah, you really got to test the spiritual experiences. Anything supernatural, that really needs to be tested. And while the Scriptures command us to prove all things, and especially to believe not every spirit, but test the spiritual ones, most hang on to some spiritual experience and presume a confidence. Yes, they presume a confidence that they are all right. Presumptuous confidence in some spiritual experience can keep them from repentance. So the devil will give them a sign or wonder along the way. Oh yeah, yeah. Confidence in spiritual experiences can keep them feeling sure of undoubted pardon for their sins. Brethren, I want to tell you something. We need each other. There is no justification. Hope you hear this. There is no justification for doing a Jude 19 other than gross unrepentant sins with the three steps of Matthew 18 very carefully followed, or heresy after the second admonition. That is the only justification. Otherwise, brethren, there is no justification for your Jude 19. And by your Jude 19, you have proved you do not have the Holy Ghost. You are carnal. I don't care what signs and wonders, I don't care what demons jump out of people when you tell them to jump. You're carnal. Word of God says so. You are sensual. You don't have the capital S Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you're spiritual, sure enough. Oh, you feel spiritual. Oh, sure enough. But otherwise, doing a Jude 19 proves that one is out of the way of repentance. Doing a Jude 19 proves you're carnal and sensual. And it proves, when you do your Jude 19, it proves you do not have the Spirit. And very often today, people may feel very spiritual and think themselves to be spiritual, but it is the deceiving demonic spirit. Jude 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the capital S Spirit, having not the Holy Spirit. Oh, spiritual, all right, just ain't the capital S Spirit spiritual. You better look at see what Jude 19 really says. May God give you ears to hear. Sadly today, we see the name of God is blasphemed among the unsaved world. Even the heathen can see the inconsistency to expect pardon of sins to be granted without repentance, which shows no fruit consistent with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like holding out your hand for merchandise but not paying the money for the merchandise. Repentance is the price at which the Lord has determined to award the pardon. He proposes the redemption of release from the penalty, and the obligation of the believer is the lifestyle of repentance. If the Lord is going to grant us something so precious as eternal life, He has every reason, and so should we, that the life of repentance and the fruit of repentance be evident. Brethren, this is one thing we do. One thing we do. We forget the past. When we put a past sin under the blood, we will not allow any person or any thought to ever bring out any sin that has been put under the blood. Any past sin put under the blood, nobody can take it out. No thought can be allowed. That kind of an insult to God Almighty. That kind of an insult to His great mercy. We don't allow it. We know where that comes from, right out of the pits of hell. We know immediately that it is only the accuser from the pits of hell. We cannot change the past, brethren. This one thing we do, we forget the past. If we put it under the blood, we cannot change the past. There is no record of that sin in heaven. If that past sin has been put under the blood, there is no record of that thing in heaven, of any sin that is put under the blood in genuine repentance. Always be quick to tell any and all such voices or thoughts of the accuser of the brethren to stop it immediately. A sinner has a godly sorrow, which works by repentance on sins of the present condition, not the past. We know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet we are quick to admit that we are sinners. Redeemed sinners is what we are. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. You deny you're a sinner, you make God a liar, and there's no future in that, brethren. You are deceiving yourself, and God is not mocked. We deny the gospel if we ever do that. We do have a godly sorrow, working the repentance to put that sin under the blood and depend on the power of the Holy Ghost to say no to that sin in the future. There's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. There is no veil of darkness which can hide our deeds, because God is light. It's strange how common is the thought today, as if God were under some necessity of granting grace without repentance. The faith is the faith of repentance from dead works to serve the living God. We have no license to sin, and we have every good reason to stop sinning. As soon as we know the Lord, we should fear Him. As soon as you have looked to Him, we should reverence Him. But what difference does knowing Him make if there's not a change to the lifestyle of repentance? Anyone who comes to know the real Lord Jesus Christ becomes permanently astonished, as Paul was when the Lord knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus. Yeah, you become permanently astonished. Disciples are disciplined ones. When repentance is granted by grace of God in Christ Jesus, we cut sin no slack. Man's fear is an honor to God, but the greater honor to God is man's faith. Faith works by love. Love cannot be love without truth. I'm going to say it again. Love cannot be love without truth. Don't think it's strange when we meet fierce attacks of the demonic host of hell when we come to the walk of faith in repentance. Man has been given a pardon. Man is freed from the grip of the devil, which is sin and vanity. So many works of death in man have been overthrown by the man coming to the cross. So many marks of condemnation, which the devil had to accuse the man, have been totally and forever erased. The devil is grieved that the sinner, who is now Christ's servant, is destined to judge him and his angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. So the demonic host watch for every opportunity to assault the believer. The devil and his demons try to tempt with the lust of the eyes. The devil will try harder to entangle believers' minds with worldly enticements, or else to subvert his faith by fear of earthly power. The devil is never short in stumbling blocks or temptations to bring at the believer. The believer is the target. He's not exempt. He's the high priority target. Brethren, if God is so gracious to grant us repentance to be born again, we should hate sin more than ever. Let none be ashamed. Let none be ashamed. Repeated sickness must have repeated medicine, brethren. You will show your gratitude to the Lord by not refusing what the Lord offers you. You have offended, but can still be reconciled. You have one whom you may satisfy. His mercy endures forever. Never insult the God who forgives sin in such a great demonstration of love and mercy as we see at the cross by doubting the Lord's willingness to pardon. Think about what the Spirit saith to the churches in Revelation. He imputes to the Ephesians forsaken love, reproaches the Thyatirans with fornication and eating of things sacrificed to idols, and he accuses the Sardinians of works not full, and he censures the Pergamons for teaching perverse things, and he upbraids the Laodiceans for trusting in their riches, and yet gives them all encouragement to repentance. The Bible teaches that all men are sinners, and the true God forgives sins. Brethren, this is what the Bible teaches, that all men are sinners, and the true God forgives sin. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. For a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. A lot of people claim to be Christians doing a lot of mischief nowadays. Sad. Some of them even religiously will do all 7 abominations of Proverbs 6. They do it religiously and think they're serving God. Boy, you talk about a strong delusion. Brethren, Lord Jesus Christ says in Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You don't think you need any repentance? Boy, are you deceived. Repentance is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and remission of sins is His name, is what we're to preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.